Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event, now on at your Opel dealer.
Des, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever it is in Tokyo. How are you?
It's after seven at night, Philip. How are you? We're just underway in the show jumping. As you say, there's huge, obviously, Irish interest in it, given we have three contenders, all of whom did so well in the qualifying. So Cian O'Connor will be the first to go of the Irish. He's sixth of the 30 finalists. The first one has just gone, Daniel Meech. I'm trying to work out, it's kind of taken about 4.5 minutes for the second rider to come into the ring. So it'll be round about 25 past, I'd say, when Cian O'Connor goes. Daniel Meech of New Zealand, first in. He has picked up 14 penalties, 12 jumping faults, 3 fences down, and 2 time penalties. It's quite tight on time. They have 88 seconds to get around the course. His time was 93.5 seconds. So that's the benchmark now. Mm-hmm. 14 penalty points. Egypt are next in. Cian O'Connor
is the sumo wrestler fence in this one, Des.
Yes, it's the same. Yeah, it's and this is the one for those who weren't watching it. There's a sumo wrestler at the front of a fence, and it spooked several of the horses yesterday. Now, it seemed to spook them earlier rather than later in the competition. I don't know why. I think what happened subsequently was when riders became aware of it, when they came out initially, I think they were bringing the horse up to see the fence. Yes, it's there. So it's going to be pretty tense, but we'll have a long wait in truth because Bertram Allen's the 25th to go of the 30, and then Dara Kenny is the 29th to go. So, I mean, you can keep your listeners updated as you go along. I'll let you know how Cian is getting on.
Excellent.
But it's a realistic chance of a medal. But the danger is we hope too much and we put pressure on people. But I think it is realistic given we've such a high pedigree, literally, with our horses in international competition.
But I mean, show jumping is such high drama and such high stakes and so unpredictable at the end of the day that I wouldn't be racing off to the bookies just yet.
No, and the margins are so small as well. And but equally, you can get the lucky break. Sometimes you can rattle the bar and it stays in place. You never know. We might get the luck as well. So let's hope for it anyway. And it certainly is grabbing our attention. In the last hour in diving, the women's 10-metre platform event, Southampton-born Tanya Watson has qualified for the semi-finals for Ireland. Each of the 30 competitors had 5 dives, the top 18 qualifying for the final. And Tanya finished in 16th place. And that's 5 points inside the limit, 289. So she goes in the semi-final tomorrow morning. They start from scratch again. Sometimes scores are carried over in other competitions, but in diving they start from scratch. So you don't know. She could do well. The semi-final is tomorrow morning and the final in the afternoon. We also have Kelly Harrington tomorrow as well, of course. There's lots going on. And the track and field. I was at the Olympic Stadium today, Philip, and I saw the world record in the women's 400 metres. And the stadium is a really interesting story because it was meant to be ready for the Rugby World Cup 2 years ago. And the cost, basically the public wouldn't accept what it was costing. And the government had to scrap the project and have it rebudgeted and alter completely the design of the stadium. And it has a particular historic significance here because it's the venue of the original 1964 Olympic Stadium. And I'm a bit of a buff on the history of sport and looking back on the previous games and all that. And I know you know, but in looking through the Irish team of the 1964 Olympic Summer Olympics, there's John Boucher Hayes.
I know. My lovely Uncle John, who not just went to one Olympics, went to 3 separate Olympics. And now, John is now 74, but when you say to him, my uncle, the Olympian, there's a man whose chest still fills with pride over 50 years later.
Absolutely, yeah. He did a brilliant, the Irish Times did a great review on the 1964 games. I presume you saw it. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, but I did. Yeah.
He was only 19. John was only 19 and had come out of school and was fencing, and following a very, very bad rugby injury. But
he had been told that he was never going to play contact sports of any kind again. So he had to figure out himself. Yeah. Well, what sport can I play? Because nobody in the family had ever come across fencing before. I took it up with gusto.
Indeed. And the golf, but he told one of the stories he told was different times, obviously without sponsorship, etc. They had to fund getting to the games. Ireland only sent a team of 25, and their federation was expected to pay one third of the cost. The Irish Olympic Council was paying a third, and then he had to raise the other third himself, and his school helped him. But he said he was 19 and he went to his boss and asked, would it be possible to have 3 weeks off to go and compete in the Olympics? And the boss said to him, well, OK, provided it doesn't set a precedent. How many give staff time off to compete at the Olympics? But anyway, that was one of the names that caught my attention, obviously. Tom O'Riordan ran. We got one medal in those games, Jim McCourt in boxing, who was beaten on a split decision. He only got a bronze, but the Irish really felt it was a very bad decision against him. But there were the games that transformed the Olympics in many ways because, for instance, in television, it was, I think this is very significant, it was only 19 years after the Second World War had ended.
Mm.
It's a very short time. Mm. So it was Tokyo's chance to step forward in the world again and remove a lot of the bad will that had existed, obviously, after the Second World War. And it also allowed them to establish themselves as a technological power and show the world what they could do technically. And in the communication sense, what they did was extraordinary as well, because it was the first time in an Olympic Games they used satellite to beam pictures around the world. In the Olympics in Rome in 1960, it was tapes and they were flown. They were flown back to America, to Britain. Mm. The tapes were physically flown back. So it was the first time satellite was used and technology was used, like swimmers touching a board and the time being stopped and recorded that way. So it was a great technological advance in terms of Olympic Games. And it was also, it had an extraordinary story as well, in that at the opening ceremony, Northern Rhodesia were one of the countries marching, okay? And then during the 2.5 weeks of the games,
it became Zimbabwe.
It became Zambia.
Zambia, sorry. Yeah.
And yeah, it became Zambia. So on the closing ceremony, when countries walk without their name in front of them, although it's kind of a celebration, it's formal at the start, they walk with their nation's name on a board in front. But at the closing ceremony, you know, they all wander around and have the crack. But Zambia walked with their board. Only Zambia held up their name because they had changed, their country name had changed.
Des Cahill is available for pub quiz teams at a very competitive rate, should you want to make inquiries to RTE Donnybrook Dublin 4.
But it is interesting. They're very interesting stories from these games. The 64 games also had the torch lit by somebody who wasn't a world famous athlete or one of the nation's heroes. It's, as you know, it's been Osaka for these games, Muhammad Ali in the past. They've tended to go for their sport's greatest star or whatever. But the flame in 1964, as part of the demonstration that Japan was recreating and moving forward and emerging from the war, was he was known as Hiroshima Boy. It was a 19-year-old who was born on the 6th of August in 1945, when the bomb was dropped, and it was a very intentional decision. And he lit the flame, and it was hugely symbolic around the world at the time.
Okay. Des, thank you very much. You really sound like you're enjoying yourself. It's not often that I want to be Des Cahill, but right now I think I do.
Yeah, well, it's we're still going well. Eight penalty points is leading at the moment in the show jumping. So okay. Kian O'Connor is sixth, and three have completed. 8 points, 14 points and 16 penalty points. A clear round here is going to be absolutely in the mix for a medal. Kian O'Connor going in about 10 minutes' time.
Des, thank you very much. We'll keep an eye on that one. Let's take a break right now, though.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.